Thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was really good. We talked about what if the world had no white people. Some parts of that were really funny, gave me an opportunity to just sort of look at some of the variety of effects that that type of environment would have on the world, America in particular. So get on over to Podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can also find me at iTunes under the category Personal Journals. You can also find me on Twitter at We Ain't Scared, also on Twitter at Ferocious Talk, and WeAin'tScared.com. It is back. We're back. You can get on over to WeAin'tScared.com. You'll see some of the merch there, shirts, and a portion of things that are sold will go to help charity. So want to, as always, shout out Flint. All right. We haven't forgotten about you. We finished up that tour, and we have some other things planned for you in 2018. And also, Black Lives Matter. All right. Black Lives Matter. As I will continue to say, the only thing Black Lives Matter has ever said is Black Lives Matter. That's it. That's all. We're not more. We're not less. We're equal. We matter. Why this is such a hard concept, I'll keep repeating it for people to understand and grasp. All we're saying is we matter. Why do you have such a difficult time with that? Well, I'll keep preaching, and I'll keep teaching, and I'll keep talking, and I'll keep walking until that sinks in where it needs to be, in the forefront of your mind, not in your subconscious, not in the back of your mind, not off in the distance somewhere. Black lives matter. All right, now let's go and jump into today's topic. And I'm really going to take my time with this one because it dovetails on my very last comment. And it's called Why Black Lives Matter Should Be Taught in Every School. Why Black Lives Matter Should Be Taught in Every School. Now, when I say every school, I mean every school. I'm talking about from elementary, preschool, kindergarten, elementary, middle school, high school, college, undergrad, graduate. Every level of academia should have a Black Lives Matter course or class. And here's why. And I have a lot of notes I've written up, but I want to talk about what they do teach in particular in on the college level, and then I'll circle back around to the principles and why Black Lives Matter being taught in the schools is so important. And we're going to talk and start with humanities. Now, a lot of you may have taken this course or a course similar to it during your collegiate career. So humanities can be described as the study of how people process and document the human experience. Since humans have been able, we have used philosophy, literature, religion, art, music, history, and language to understand and record our world. Now that's humanities. Okay. And again, some of you may have taken a humanities course in college, and that will sound very familiar to you. For those that have not, you can easily research that online. Now, I want to talk about, let me see here. I have the principles. Let me start with what I wrote, just sort of free form, free thinking here. Schools in America, and that's what we're talking about because that's the context, teach racial insensitivity. That's just the way America has been built since slavery. It has been racially insensitive since the very first slave ship landed on this continent. And some would argue, well, it started before that. It was when the ships reached the shores of Africa. Okay, but that racial insensitivity toward black people by only promoting white, European, Anglo-Saxon, American heroes, it causes a mental breakdown of pride, right? And one, it's not accurate, but it promotes an inferiority complex in those that do not look like the heroes that are being shared in the school books. When all you see are white faces accomplishing all of the alleged first or major accomplishments, it can make those non-black people, or those black people, I should say, those black people that are reading and seeing these images feel as if somehow their ancestors were not smart enough, they were not capable enough, they were not talented enough, they were not they didn't have a lot of ingenuity, that everything that happened came out of the minds and the mouth of white people. And we know that that's not the case. Most of the more significant inventions came from black people, in particular black slaves, who, as most of us know, could not own their own inventions because their masters owned them, which by default meant, therefore, that anything that that slave created belonged to their master. You take that one step further, even for those who did submit things, black inventors, to the patent office, then you had white men that started the patent office poach or steal from black inventors and their inventions and change or adjust to try to make those inventions their own in some way. So to get back to where I was saying, a lot of the white heroes were racial and social terrorists. And that's in every sense of the word. And I go back to Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. And we talk about Monticello, I believe is the name of the city or the location on the East Coast where he had slaves. Now, when you read about Thomas Jefferson, you see a lot of puffery, right? He was this astute and well-respected politician, and he did so many great things for this country. But the truth of the matter is he was a child rapist. He started having sexual intercourse with Sally Heming, a black slave, when she was 14 years old on his plantation. He basically raped a child and started impregnating her in her teens all the way through her adult years. Now, this is an example, one of many, that white America and politics and the school books and literature perpetuate heroes that are actually terrorists, that are actually rapists, that are actually violent offenders of the worst kind. Now, I understand that when you're in control of the machine that promotes this material, that you're going to look for things that look like you. But the truth is, the truth never dies. And it is incumbent upon all of us, whether you're white, black, green, yellow, whatever, to just focus on the truth. It doesn't matter, okay, if the truth doesn't fall heavily on your side. If the facts line up to show, in this example, that it was Africans that pollinated the planet. It was African seed that created every color, every creed on the planet, which are facts, indisputable, undeniable, scientifically proven, genetically shown that those are the facts. But because there's this fear of a black planet, when the reality is it already is and always will be a black planet, Just accept the truth. Black people have never said, if you can just accept the fact that we were here first, that somehow, in doing so, we're going to dominate and take over your position. All we've ever wanted was to be acknowledged for the truth and the facts as they are. And this is another reason why Black life matters. And why Black life, in the truest sense, meaning from its origins, the original man, has to be taught so that people have an accurate depiction of their place in history and how they evolved and when they evolved and where they evolved from. That's how you teach respect. This is no different than a family tree. Ancestry.com does a very good job of promoting ancestry, DNA, genetics. Learn where you came from. You're 40% this, 30% this, 15% this, 10% that. They do a really good job of that. Because why? It gives you a healthy perspective and understanding of your roots. And when you know where you come from, it gives you a greater sense of who you are. There's no ambiguity. There's no question. And then you're more confident in who you are. Now, we all know that nobody or America is not trying to make Black people confident, right? They want us weak and vulnerable and hurt, lost, misguided, because then they can take advantage of us, uneducated. And that's why it's important for not just Black voices like myself, but white voices in particular to speak up and say, look, enough is enough. You claim you want to get along and you claim you want harmony and peace, but you don't act in that way. Because as soon as information is put in front of you, white person, and you don't like how it looks because it doesn't give you a superior position above, but it may actually put you beneath, and not that that's a bad thing in the terms of the hierarchy of origin. Nobody can change origin. I can't change the fact that my grandfather was born 100 years ago, the same way that white people cannot change that Africa was millions of years ahead of Europe or Europeans, which, as I've discovered and as I've always known, that sub-Saharan Africans were the ones that pollinated Europe. All right, so let me continue. And it surprises me that as a group, meaning Black people, that our only plea is for the world to stop killing us. And that somehow is met with vitriol, violence, and deaf ears and blind eyes. I don't know where this innate fear came from. I mean, part of me, and this is all supposition, I think what I think happened is when the first white male landed on the continent of Africa, I think he was so overwhelmed with the progress and so overwhelmed with the organization and the strength that he was so scared and he was so intimidated that he knew that the only way he was going to overcome this strength and this resilience is I have to come back with the most violent tool that I can possibly imagine to be able to overtake this culture. It has to be violent. Because in their current form before that violent weapon, they didn't stand a chance. And the truth of the matter is, the irony is, even in our strength in Africa, we never espoused to take over any other country or continent or group. You know, I often wonder, what have Black people done to you as an individual? And this is directly to non-Black people, to make you so hateful toward us. You probably can't even name one Black person that you know personally, that you've had encounters with, let alone name one that did anything wrong to you. Black people spend most of our time reacting. We spend most of our time on the defensive, waiting for somebody for no reason at all, other than ignorance, to cause us to defend ourselves. And teaching Black life and that it matters when kids are young will eliminate this unnatural fear that people have when they encounter us. Black Lives Matter is a call for basic human decency and respect. But maybe we're asking people in America that have no human decency to exhibit something that is impossible for them to do. In my opinion, and I always use babies and puppies' lives matter as an analogy, since those two always evoke the "aww" response. If babies and puppies' lives matter, how come Black lives don't matter? Is a baby or puppy's life worth more? This is a war. Make no mistake about it. It is a war for respect that Black America is having. There are many in America with three Ks that are too comfortable with the idea of Black extinction for no other reason than you have been brainwashed, socially engineered to hate. And in my opinion, it starts at school, preschool, elementary, middle, high school, college. It's a form, in my opinion, of mental illness. That if you embrace life for others and you don't for Black people, that is not embracing life at all. When we originated life for everyone. So here are some of the principles that Black Lives Matter espouses that could easily be taught in school. Love. Everyone can get behind love, right? Love your neighbor. Love each other. It's a basic human principle. That's easy. You show a Black face. You teach Black history as it really truly is. And you teach love, respect. This is a very important aspect to Black life and Black Lives Matter. Respect Black life. Respect Black people. Black people don't go around looking for reasons to disrespect anybody. That's not how we're wired. Because we've been so oppressed and we've been so disenfranchised, and because we know what it's like to be disrespected for no reason, we're automatically hardwired to be open and accepting. The only reason we'll get into a disrespectful tone is if you disrespect us first. And then even then, there are some that will say, you know what? I'm gonna let it go. All right, acceptance. Just accept us for how and who we are. And it's amazing that I feel like there's this, you have to teach people, like somehow Black people are from another planet. You know, when you encounter a Black person, you need to do this and you need to do that. You know, they're not accustomed to these way of life. Really? Like somehow we're not from Earth. But you love our music. Man, do you love our music. God, dog, do you love. Everybody loves our music. And I ain't mad. It's fantastic. It's the best music on the planet. R&B, hip-hop, rock, rap, country. All came from Black people. Tolerance, to continue the list. Tolerance. Empathy. Man, that is a huge word right there. Empathy. Can you just empathize with just the pain of another human being? That could solve a lot right there. That person's just in pain. When these police brutality, these unarmed murders that are happening, there are some people, they don't even want to try to empathize. They are so, this disassociative disorder behavior, they just disconnect. You got to reconnect as a human. Understanding, you know, and I say this a lot, we don't have to agree. I don't do these podcasts to try to convince the listener that I'm right and you're wrong. Some people may think that. No, not at all. I don't do it for that reason. I do it because I want you to understand where I'm coming from. I want you to understand the things that are happening and understand my position. I understand your position because you put it on TV 24/7, 365. So whether I want to or not, I understand the white position in America, in the world. And again, we don't have to agree. That's not the point. I just want you to understand. Protect. Protect. When you respect that person, then you will automatically, in my opinion, be more apt to want to protect that person because you know, hey, they share the same values that I do. Self-love. Black Lives Matter is about self-love. Period. It's about loving who you are when nobody else does. When nobody else does. Because we're not going to get it from any other culture. We have to give it to ourselves. And if you teach self-love and you show black faces to a three-year-old and that they should love this person, a 10-year-old, and that they should respect a black person the same way they respect themselves. On the college level, teaching the effects of you may be the next senator, the next judge, the next governor, the next attorney, the next whatever. You have to understand that there's a group in America, black Americans, that need you to be open to change in policies because you're going to be writing it. And you have to be respectful and not automatically go to yourself first. Dignity. It teaches dignity. When you teach Black Lives Matter on every level, you show dignity. I think at the end of all of this, what hurts me is that somehow I feel like we as black people, African Americans, have to plead and beg and strain and moan and groan just to be on a basic level accepted as human. I mean, think about that. We fought to just be perceived as human. As human. When invariably we already were, because we are human by default, because we're here. We're born here. We created everything. Black Lives Matter should be taught in every school around the world. Why? Because black life matters. Well, I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some good food for thought. My name is A1, and we ain't scared.